story of Mert and Marg. A dramatic last-minute angle entered Myrtle Spear's fight for life when handsome Sanfield Malone flew in from Mexico City and testified that he had been in Ray Hunt's office the night he was murdered. His testimony came after Jack moved for a new trial and asked for an immediate hearing on his motion. Will Sanfield's story get Myrtle out of her terrible predicament? In just a moment, we'll go on with today's episode and the story of Myrtle and Marge. Sanfield Malone is still on the stand. Jack Arnold continues his questioning. He says,
Mr. Sanfield, you say you left South America late in 1935.
Yes.
And when you arrived in New York, your wife was not at the dock to meet you?
That's right.
What did you do immediately upon your arrival in New York?
After being unable to reach my wife, I decided to phone Ray Hunt at the theater. He seemed a little nervous when I finally got to talk to him, but his greeting was reasonably cordial. I told him I'd be right down to the theater to see him, but he said he was extremely busy and would I please make it the following day. He said he could give me no idea of where Rose might be.
Did you go to the theater the following day?
No. I decided to go immediately after talking to him.
Go on, please, Mr. Sanfield.
I walked in Hunt's office. He tried to be pleasant, but he seemed quite nervous.
What did you do, Mr. Sanfield?
I accused him point blank of alienating the affections of my wife. He denied everything. He said he had no idea where Rose could be, that he hadn't seen her for months. I could get no satisfaction whatever, and I finally left his office. 3 days later, I was walking down Broadway, dejectedly wondering which way to turn next when I saw Rose.
You saw her?
Yes. At first, I didn't know her. She had changed so. I followed her to a broken-down apartment building on West 53rd Street. She was sick. So sick, she almost collapsed when she reached her door. Then she saw me.
I'm sorry to drag you through all of this, Mr. Sanfield, but it's...
Yes, I know. She was pathetically glad to see me. I took her to her mother's home in Springfield, Massachusetts, and the whole pitiful story came out a little time. 2 months later, Rose died in my arms.
Go on, Mr. Sanfield.
Several days later, I went to call on Mr. Hunt, this time with a gun in my pocket.
Did you find him?
No. Hunt had gone to Paris for a little vacation. He'd heard what happened to Rose. I went to Chicago. I stayed there until the war started, then I enlisted.
Mr. Sanfield, did you ever see Ray Hunt again?
Not until the night I walked into his office. The night he was killed.
Oh, Mr. Sanfield, you just said you'd not seen Ray Hunt again until the night he was murdered.
Yes, Mr. Arnold.
You also said that after your wife died, you went to Chicago.
Yes.
What did you do there?
I found a new profession.
What was this new profession, if you please?
Gambling. I was rather successful at it.
That mixed you up in gang affairs, didn't it, Mr. Sanfield?
I don't think that's a great deal of importance, Mr. Archer.
If you don't mind, Mr. Archer, let's get on with the facts in Mr. Sanfield's story that are relevant to this case. May I go on with the questioning?
As you like, Mr. Arnold.
Thank you, Counselor. Now, Mr. Sanfield, you knew Myrtle Spear.
Yes. I met her less than a year ago.
You were in her confidence?
Yes, to a considerable extent.
Where did you first meet Myrtle Spear?
Mr. Archer, I really don't remember.
Did she tell you anything about her experiences with Ray Hunt?
No, but her roommate, Margie Minter, did. She told me how Miss Spear had been in love with him at one time, and then how she discovered he was married. I learned also that Hunt had discharged her because she refused to be friends with him after this discovery. She told me she felt that Hunt was persecuting Miss Spear.
Did Miss Spear tell you anything about Margie Minter, Mr. Sanfield?
Yes. She expressed her anxiety about her. She said she felt sure that Hunt had designs on Miss Minter.
I see. Did Miss Spear ask your help?
No, but I sympathized with her, remembering what had happened to my wife.
Ah, and?
Mr. Sanfield, did you know at the time that Hunt was the same man who had known your wife?
Yes.
And you felt he was the man responsible for your wife's death?
Yes.
I see. Mr. Sandfield, do you remember meeting me one night at Miss Spears' apartment?
Yes.
You told me then that you were leaving for Mexico City the following day.
Yes.
That was a short time before Hunt's death, was it not?
Yes, 5 days before.
And did you leave for Mexico City on the date you told us you were leaving?
No.
What? You didn't leave at the time you said you were going to?
No, I didn't leave until 5 days later.
Why not, Mr. Sandfield?
I had some important business to take care of. You see, Mr. Arnold, I have a very high regard for Miss Spear. I'd also met Miss Minter, and I was tremendously taken with her. And remembering Rose...
Yes?
The night before I left for Mexico, I decided to go and see Hunt and have a little talk with him.
What sort of talk, Mr. Sandfield?
I intended to warn him to stop annoying these two girls.
I see.
Sort of Don Quixote, Mr. Sandfield?
No, Mr. Archer. Just a good friend.
Mr. Sandfield, do you always carry a gun?
A good deal of the time, yes, Mr. Archer.
You have a gun in your left-hand coat pocket. I can see it.
May I have that gun, Mr. Sandfield?
With pleasure. Here, sir.
Bailiff! Bailiff, what is the meaning of this? This man came into this courtroom carrying a loaded gun. I never heard of such flagrant contempt. You're under arrest, sir.
Your Honor, I beg
your Honor, this is an outrage. An insult to the dignity of this court. Another example of Mr. Arnold's tactics, bringing a hoodlum into
just
the court.
Just a moment, Mr. Archer. Your Honor, this man has come here of his own free will in an attempt to save the life of an innocent woman, and I see...
And to shoot his way out of the courtroom.
I think you noticed, Your Honor, the peaceful way in which this gentleman gave me this gun. If he'd had any intention of shooting anybody, would he have handed it over with so little ado?
Well, he's admitted that he's in the habit of carrying a gun. I demand that he be arrested, Your Honor. The court was certainly a long way from lenient when Mr. Arnold demanded that certain witnesses of mine be impeached. I ask the same treatment at the hands of the court.
Your
please,
Honor...
Please, Mr. Archer, let's have order. Mr. Arnold, is there any reason why I should not follow Mr. Archer's suggestion?
It is necessary to remind Your Honor that this is a very special circumstance. This, if I am not mistaken, Your Honor, is a hearing on a motion for a new trial, and I can...
And the same laws and customs certainly apply.
A woman's life is at stake, Your Honor. There is reason to suspect an imperfect verdict, Mr. Archer. I think a miscarriage of justice would not be such a creditable reflection upon your conduct of the people's case. Now, what do you say, Counselor?
Well, he shouldn't have come in here carrying a gun.
Make up your mind, Mr. Archer.
Well, all right, go ahead.
Your Honor, I ask your indulgence. May we be permitted to conclude the questioning of Mr. Sandfield? I'm sure that he will submit to arrest without further question at the conclusion of his testimony.
Mr. Arnold, I'm shocked. This is outrageous. But in view of the circumstances... All right, go on.
Thank you, Your Honor. Will you go on with your story, Mr. Sandfield? Did you go to see Hunt as you had planned?
Yes.
When?
The night he was killed.
How did you get into the theater?
I walked in through the stage door. There was no one there to stop me. It was exactly 17 minutes after 8 by the clock in the doorman's little office. As I started down the corridor toward Hunt's office, I saw a colored woman opening the steel door that, I presume, leads onto the stage.
A colored woman?
She had on a maid's black uniform, I believe.
Probably one of the dressers or sewing women.
I wouldn't know. But on her head, stacked like wheat cakes, were several large hats. And she carried huge things with feathers in her arms.
Hats and headdresses.
I guess that's what you call them.
Did she see you, Mr. Sandfield?
No, she didn't.
Go on, please.
Just as she went through the doorway, something slipped to the floor from underneath the folds of one of those headdresses, I think you call them. I picked it up.
Yes, Mr. Sandfield. What was it?
That gun you just took away from me.
This gun?
Yes, that revolver.
That's it. That's it, Mr. Arnold. That's the one, Mr. Arnold. I just know Cora took that revolver from the dressing room shelf.
What is it? Go back and sit down,
oh,
sir.
Oh, Judge, I mean, Your Honor, I'm so glad they found it. And I advise you to arrest that Cora right now. She's the one that...
Sit down and shut up.
Oh, Mr. Arnold, can't you see? It clears murder.
Please, sit down, Clarence.
We'll soon find out if this is really the gun that was missing from the dressing
room. Your Honor, may I ask...
Your Honor, if you will allow
order,
me...
Order! Now, let's get this over with. What about that revolver?
Your Honor, it's been found that this revolver is...
Is the one you've been looking for. I know. I used it to shoot Hunt.
What did you say, Mr. Sandfield?
I said... I shot Ray Hunt.
Thank you.
courtroom is a scene of wildest disorder as Sandfield Malone explodes his sensational statement. Is he guilty of the crime for which Myrtle Spears stands convicted? Or is he merely taking a desperate gamble to save her life? Don't miss the next exciting chapter in the story of Mert and Marge. This is Andre Baruch speaking.